week in my sermon, I shared with you that one of the greatest privileges of being a priest is the opportunity to spend time with people as they're approaching the end of their lives. This is an extraordinary grace because, as I mentioned last week, all of the extraneous things of life fall away. When somebody has been diagnosed with a serious illness or is approaching death, only those things that matter most to us remain. Spending time with loved ones, good health, family and friends. All the extras just melt away. And as I've had the privilege of being with a few folks in the last few weeks as they were very, very close to death, it's absolutely exceptional to see the depths of love that friends and family are called to express. I've had the incredible privilege of watching a spouse learn to suction the tracheostomy of his wife, of watching childhood friends learn to use those little sponges on the ends of sticks to moisten the lips of a loved one who is approaching death and can offer that tiny measure of comfort. I've seen children massaging the hands and feet of their fathers and mothers as an act of love and comfort and care, reversing the care that they had received so early in their lives. These acts of love and tender nurturing spring up from places deep, deep within these friends and family. It's breathtaking to get to witness that. It's not a kind of love that can be commanded. Nobody can simply say, "I command you to love your mother and to treat her with gentleness and kindness." If it's not coming from a place deep in your heart, anybody who's witnessing can smell a fake in a second. In Paul's letter to the Thessalonians, he uses this language of being among the Thessalonians, giving his heart, his soul to them, nursing them as a mother would care for her own children. And yet we all have witnessed nursing that isn't motivated from that same place of love. You know, the easiest one to remember is Nurse Ratched in One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. Remember her? She was actually the sister of one of my dissertation advisors, so pretty daunting thing. But that when you have somebody who is acting out of duty or obligation, when they are fulfilling the rule, the law that they feel has been set down for them, it can get expressed in that extremely random and arbitrary and sometimes abusive expression of love, right? That's actually not love. As Christians, when Jesus is commanding us to love God and to love our neighbor as ourselves, and he's telling us that all of the law, all of the prophets, everything else that you do in life hangs on love, this is the most serious, most important, most essential, crucial thing that we can do as Christians, is to cultivate a sense of true love and charity. I love that hymn that Doug chose for before this gospel lesson. So that we can cultivate true love that is expressed through gentleness and compassion. But how do we do that? How do we cultivate that kind of love in our lives? If this is the essential thing, if this is the heart and soul of our Christian faith on which everything else hangs, we should be spending time every day in some way or another strengthening our ability to love. It doesn't necessarily come naturally. How many of you, again, close your eyes, how many of you have conflicted relationships with mothers, daughters, fathers, sons, brothers, sisters? Okay, everybody has their hands up. So family, even the people closest to us are often the hardest ones to love. The relationships are so complicated. So how do we nurture this sense of love in our lives and in our hearts? There's a wonderful Buddhist scholar and teacher named Pema Chodron who teaches up at Gampo Abbey in Nova Scotia. And she writes extensively about how do we cultivate love in our lives. Because this is not only a Christian concern, this is a human concern. Every world religion has at its heart cultivating love or loving kindness. So how can we do this? She teaches that we have to actively practice, we have to have a discipline of building love. In the same way that if you wanted to train for a marathon, if you are recovering from an illness and you're having to do physical therapy, if you're preparing for something particularly mentally taxing, you have to use your muscles, you have to train them to do this incredible task. We have to train our love muscles, if that makes any sense. And she says that the easiest way that you can begin is to call to mind a being that has loved you unconditionally. Many of us, depending on where you are in your lives, may find that a very difficult thing to access. Pema Chodron says to us, we may need to go back to our childhood dog. Any being who has shown you unconditional love. If you can close your eyes and imagine yourself in the presence of that being and receiving that love, feeling the warmth that's kindled in you for that being or that person, maybe a grandmother, maybe a parent, maybe a dear friend from childhood who has been true to you, maybe an animal. Once you can access that warmth, that sense of loving kindness, that compassion, that connectivity, you all know what it feels like when you're in the presence of a loving being. When you can feel however that is for you, that's where we start. And then from there, as you express thoughts of and prayers of gratitude and love for this animal or for this person, you slowly and at your own capacity and with tremendous gentleness expand that circle. So maybe you expand that to your grandchildren, people that are easy for you to love. Again, the sense is that you're practicing, you're building your muscles. You're growing in your knowledge and love of God and in your knowledge and love of yourself and then able to share that with other people. So slowly and gently you access that core and allow that love to radiate. So to a close family member that's easy to love, to a family member that's more difficult to love, to somebody that you got in a fight with at the rummage sale. You slowly expand that circle of love. Because ultimately, Jesus' love and the love of God that is shown to us through Jesus is meant to heal the whole world. It's not just for us to feel good about ourselves. It's meant to heal all things in all of creation. So as you reflect on this commandment, how can you access and build your muscles for loving so that we don't end up acting like Nurse Ratched, but we have that sense of deep gentleness and humility and compassion, that beautiful spirit of loving where it just flows forth naturally. When we connect deeply in our own hearts to that kind of loving, it's an absolutely limitless supply because God is loving through us at that point. It's not dependent on our feelings. It's not dependent on our relationships. It's solely dependent on being connected with that deep love of God and allowing it to flow through you. Amen.
Amen.